Today you get to hear from one of our own. Over the years, she has been one of our kids' church workers for a decade. She's been one of our board members, a director of our after-school program, a youth worker, our access coordinator, a launch team member, and I could go on and on and on. She's been relentlessly faithful, unyieldingly committed, devoted follower of Jesus, and without a doubt is one of the reasons that East Coast International Church gets to be so awesome. Why don't you welcome Jessica Bishop as she comes and shares today.
Oh, there's signs. There's signs and there's T-shirts. Bobby Bishop always had a T-shirt. I always wanted one. So now I get T-shirts and signs. I don't know if when I was a teenager, I did something similar to one of my youth pastors that was preaching, and we distracted him thoroughly. But so maybe I won't look that way. All right. So as Pastor Kurt said, I have been part of ECIC since the very beginning for the past 16 and a half years. I'm married to Bobby Bishop, who stands in the back here every week. I have two kids, Elena and Isabel, and I'm a teacher. That's my profession. I work at an elementary school in Burlington, Massachusetts, at a Christian school. And quite honestly, kids are really where I'm the most comfortable. I help out in my school. It's a Christian school, so we do chapels at our school, and quite often I'm asked to do a chapel, and usually I have time to prepare for that, but recently somebody canceled, and it was literally Tuesday, chapel's on Wednesday, and the vice principal came to me and said, hey, Jess, I need you to do chapel tomorrow. And at first I was like a little, you know, I have to pull it together, okay, but I did it. I don't get butterflies. It doesn't bother me. I just do it. Now, Kurt asked me, I think, probably like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I hemmed and I hawed. Actually, Kurt asked me last year, and I said no. And I said, but ask me next year. And then I thought maybe he would forget, but he didn't. So anyway, so kids are where I'm really comfortable. I don't care if they laugh at me. In fact, when kids laugh at you, it's good. It means they're paying attention. So for a moment, I'm just going to have to close my eyes and imagine that you're just a group of elementary school age children. As Kurt mentioned, I did work with the children's ministry here at ECIC for many years. And actually, most of them, it was when we called it Kids Zone. And most of our Kids Zone, some of mine, they're spread out, but there's a bunch over here. So they're here, which is great. But on top of that, I had a lot of people encouraging me to do it and to take the challenge and to do it. I even got a tee this morning that says, you got this. So I had a lot of people encouraging me. And because of that, I just felt like this is where God wanted me to speak to you today about encouragement. And I opened up my Bible, and I dug around. I did a lot of looking around and reading, and just felt like there's a message of encouragement that I want to speak to you all today. Encouragement is something that we do to express our love for each other, right? When we love somebody, we encourage them, we push them on. And just like love, it's a part of who we are. It's like oxygen to us. It gives us life. It gives us, it inspires us, and it just keeps us motivated. As I was reading along, I realized, you know, this isn't just something that God recommends. It's something that he commands to us. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, so encourage each other and build each other up just as you already are already doing. So, what is encouragement? As a teacher, I encourage my kids to look up the definition. Now, nowadays, you don't really have dictionaries in your house anymore. I still have dictionaries in my classroom, so I could ask my kids to actually open up a dictionary, but of course, you know, you go to Google, and you look this up, and you find there's dictionaries online. So one of the definitions online that I read is the action of giving someone support, confidence, or hope. And I did ask a couple of my older kids. I work with second graders this year, but I did last week have an opportunity to have grades 2, 3, 4, and 5 visit my classroom for a Thanksgiving activity. So I asked a bunch of them what they thought encouragement was. And so I kind of went around and said, when you hear the word encouragement or encouraging, what does that mean to you? And so I had some responses. One was helping one another. Another one says making someone feel better. Another child said, inspiring someone. And one of my favorite responses was to help someone believe in themselves, and then they can do something they never thought they could do. And that came from a child, and I just was like, yeah, that's amazing. So, you know, encouragement, when we think of encouragement, we might think of it as us complimenting somebody or giving someone great praise, or you really like your haircut, that brownies you made were really good. But that's not the encouragement that the Bible speaks about. Colossians 4:8, it says, I have sent him to you for this purpose, to let you know how we are doing and to encourage you. See, encouragement points a person to God's promises and assures them that all that they face is under his control. It also share encouragement with the hopes that it will lift someone's heart towards God. We want to see people pointing to God, and when we encourage them, we can point them that way. Last week, Pastor Kurt read this verse in John where it says, in this world you will have trouble, right? And that seems kind of discouraging. That seems the opposite. But he did follow that up with a very encouraging word, which was, take heart, I have overcome the world. As I was looking around, I found this story about some frogs. I'm just going to read it to you. It says, as a group of frogs traveled through the woods, two of them fell into a deep pit. The other frogs peeked in and told these two that they were as good as dead, as it was impossible to come out. Ignoring the discouragement, these two frogs tried to jump out anyway. A while later, one of the frogs lost its spirit in the constant discouragement and gave up and died. The second frog kept on jumping. The more the others commented, the harder he tried. Finally, he jumped out. Didn't you hear us? Asked the other frogs. Oh, I'm a little deaf. I thought you were cheering me on, answered the frog. So, you know, what I got of that was when we have those encouraging words and people really cheering us on and speaking life into us, it can be the difference between life and success and death, between success and failure. And it can go a real long way. So why do we need encouragement? Why do we do encouragement? Why do we need encouragement? And quite simply, one of the answers is because we're supposed to. Like I said before, God commanded us to, and he knows that we need it. He didn't just think it was a good idea, he commanded it. In Hebrews 3:13, it says, encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We need that reminder from God, don't we? I think we all do this really well. We encourage really well when we are with children. And again, I do this. This is part of my job. I mean, from the moment the baby is born, the baby doesn't even know what you're saying, but the moment that baby is born, we are cheering that baby on. I mean, quite honestly, we do encourage it when that baby even poops, right? Come on, I've seen it where you're like, wow, good job, you did it, you know, he pooped. anyways, as you know, side note, adults like when they say poop as well as children, so. as they begin to get older, you know, they begin to pull up, and we encourage them, and they begin to walk, and what do? They're over there, and instead of standing right next to them, we go further and further away, because we're challenging them to come further, to do more. When they begin to read, this is a big part of what I do. When a child begins to read in school, we challenge them with new words. We give them new things that they can sound out. We push them. We know that they can do more, and we push them to do more. And we show them that their hard work pays off. And encouraging children, it comes so easily to us. It's just instinct. We encourage kids. But sometimes with adults, we don't do this as well. It's not as easy. And as I was kind of thinking about, I thought of a story that happened in our life. But so my second reason for why we need encouragement is because it reminds us of who we are. And we remind people of who they are. So sometimes we may not do this with adults. And I'm not sure why. Maybe we're jaded. Maybe we think that people won't receive what we have to say. Or, you know, quite honestly, maybe we think we might offend somebody, because that's just kind of really easy to do. But encouraging others reminds us of who we are and reminds them of who they are. And so we need to listen to our encouragers. So in our life, in my husband and my Bobby's life, for those of you who don't know, Bobby did music ministry. He was a Christian rap artist for over 20 years. But before all that, he came to Lynn as a college student in 1996. And when I met him a couple years later, I quickly joined in helping out with kids, with teenagers in Lynn. And when Bobby was writing his music, oftentimes he used the stories of the children that he worked with to write his music. They inspired his songs. So one of these songs, it gained some national attention, and it ultimately led to a record deal in Nashville. So Nashville, you may not think, is where rap music is kind of from, but it is where Christian music is from. It's the hub of Christian music, Nashville, Tennessee. So he got some attention, and he got a record deal, and he started recording. And while he was out in Nashville, we were encouraged, we were, you know, asked, you know, maybe you guys should move here to Nashville. And we considered it, and we, you know, we even actually put our house on the market. And throughout it all, Bobby was, he was also traveling, and he was, you know, performing in different shows all over the country. And every time he went, he actually took kids with him. He was never alone. He would mentor somebody along the way. He had kids from Lynn with him. And he justified maybe us moving with the fact that, you know, he was still taking care of the kids. We still had the kids with us. We had a minivan before we had kids. It was called the Rap Van. And the minivan just took him and the kids and us everywhere. And he always had kids from Lynn with him. And so we were being pulled in that direction, but Pastor Kurt did encourage us to never forget what we were called to do in the first place and never forget what we were called to be. And he encouraged us to use discernment because ultimately our calling was very unique. It was very unique to this city and very unique to the teenagers of this city. And how are we going to justify the move? How are we going to make this work? And he also reminded Bobby and I that a lot of your songs are because of these children, because of the experiences that you've had with them and because they've shared these experiences with you. So kind of where would your music be if you didn't have the children in Lynn? How would you do this? So ultimately we stayed. We're here, right? We're here. And last year, or about a year and a half ago, we ECIC hosted a hip-hop Wednesday, I think it was, and there was a rap artist here that Bobby knew, and we went out to dinner with him, and the artist asked Bobby, you know, how did you transition from being a rap artist to now a social worker, which is what Bobby is doing. He's a social worker, and for years he worked at DCF, and now he's in the Lynn Public Schools. But Bobby's response was, I was a social worker posing as an artist. It just took me a while to see that. I had the right encouragement, but I wasn't always listening. Once I listened, it all became clear that I had to make some changes. And I know something that Bobby remembers and I remember Kurt saying is that I don't think you realize how much the city of Lynn and these teenagers miss you when you're away. So this ultimately just changed his path and how he, where he is now, where we are now. Last year, he started as a school social worker. He is the exclusive high school social worker here in Lynn. And, you know, it took listening to the encouragement and ultimately stepping out in obedience and being reminded of who he was and who we are and to put us where we are and to keep us here. So we are, you know, very grateful for that because it's quite evident that this is where we're supposed to be and God has had planned for us to be here all along. And it was easy to maybe be distracted by those other things. So why else do we need encouragement? We also need it because we are in a battle. We are in a broken world, and everything calls us to be selfish, right? To just take care of our own. Everything calls us to live in despair. And ultimately, the sin will steal our joy, our bodies break down, our dreams change, our plans falter, everything. The world is broken. And In the Bible, in James 1, 2, and 3, it says, we are promised suffering, persecution, and trials of various kinds. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. When encouragement is absent from life, people will begin to feel unloved, unimportant, useless, or forgotten. In Hebrews 12, 3-5, it reminds us, it says, think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. So, again, think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. And, of course, speaking about Jesus, he didn't throw in the towel. He didn't give up. He kept persisting with his mission. And we have to keep persisting with our mission. We cannot give up. Another reason why we need encouragement is because it pushes us to dream bigger. I'm going to go back to my favorite quote to one of the kids. It says, to help someone believe in themselves, and then they can do something they never thought they could do. I kind of stand here today as evidence of that. I had a lot of people encouraging me, and I didn't think this was something I could do. But here I am. In Hebrews 10, 24, it says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit for some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing up. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. We need to encourage each other to follow whatever it is that God is stirring up to do in other people's lives or to do in your life. That word encouragement obviously has that word courage in it. And I like to think of it as somebody putting courage into you, to put that boldness into you. And sometimes you need to ask for it. Sometimes you just need to go to people and ask for it and say, hey, would you build me up and remind me that I have something big to do because I have the Spirit of God living in me. You know, God didn't call us to live boring lives. He called us to be passionate and bold. And we need to stir each other up. And here at ECIC, we have an amazing built-in support system. We have our Wednesday night groups. We have community. We have this. And I know I personally have this. Shortly before this school year began, I had been teaching well over 10 years of kindergarten. And it was real. I was really the most comfortable. I had my files. I had what I did January, February. I knew what I was doing for Easter and Christmas, and it just was there. I, of course, you know, tweaked things as the years went on, but I had it all planned. Everything was set, planned, easy, no problem. At the end of last year, I was asked to make a switch to second grade. So something that I do, which is a little bit of a problem, is I say, sure, and then I think, oh no, what'd I do? So I've worked with second graders, but I've never had my own class of second graders. And I said, sure, I'll do it. Well, as the summer went on and I got closer and closer to that school year beginning, I just went into a complete panic of how am I going to do this? I don't know the curriculum. It's going to be every day, every week, it's going to be something new, something I've never seen before, something I've not done before, and I need to plan my entire day. And second graders know a lot more than kindergartners. And so I literally was up one night, it was right before school started, and I just was panicked. I was panicked. I was awake. I was panicked. So what did I do? I just pulled out my phone. My friends weren't awake, but that's okay. And I messaged everybody, a bunch of friends, and just said, hey, guys, can you all pray for me? Because I need encouragement right now. I don't feel like this is something I can do. Maybe these kids, I have a small classroom, and maybe like the enrollment will go down, and then they'll just combine the second graders, and then they won't need me as a teacher in the second grade. And so I just sent out my little SOS and saying, I'm panicking, and I don't know what to do. And I'll tell you what, the next morning, I got a whole stream of replies of people. And, you know, before I even read those replies and when I sent that message out, I immediately began to feel like I've got this, because I knew that, first off, I knew the Spirit of God was in me, and I knew that He knew that I had this. But, of course, I also knew that I had these people in my life that I could reach out to and just say, help. And they did. They came through, and they came through big time. Just like many of them are wearing their Team Bishop shirts today, coming through for me. Now, as we do this, sometimes our dreams are pretty big. And when our dreams are pretty big, sometimes people will want to discourage you. And like I said before, when we say encouraging, somebody's putting the courage in you. But when they're discouraging you, they're taking that courage away from you. And people may not even realize what they're doing. You know, they may not just come up to you and say, no, that's not possible. They might just come on, you know, you can't save everyone. You can't save the world. You need to take care of your own, you know. You can't pursue that dream or whatever because you have responsibilities. And if you do that, you're going to be irresponsible. So they're not just saying no to you. They're just, you know, giving you, and they're making you second guess yourself. And while it's true we do need a responsible, if there's something that God has laid on your heart, you need to pursue it because God will take care of the rest. Don't shrink back. You know, these people are not for you. They're not for God's purpose in your life. They're against that. Listen, I know this, and just as we approach the Christmas season, Jesus was there. He was in a position. He was in heaven. He was living. Everything was good where he was. But yet he humbled himself to come here as a baby and to a place that's scary, a place that's broken, and ultimately turned against him. And he did it. And in the same way, I think we need to remember to have that fire stoked in us. And have people in our life that are stoking that fire and not deadening, not putting out and stomping that fire. But the Bible says, the Bible gives us people to equip us. And not just to say nice things to us, right? They equip us. They are there to be your cheerleaders and to go on and do more than you ever imagined. And ultimately, friends, the Holy Spirit is enough for us. And that's ultimately who we need to listen to. At this time, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. So in my wrapping this up with encouragement and life with encouragement, I'm just going to read you this. It says, you know, without encouragement, life would soon feel pointless and burdensome. Without encouragement, we can feel overwhelmed by the real pains of our lives. Without encouragement, we may feel unloved. Without encouragement, we begin to think that God is a liar or unconcerned with our welfare. But the Bible tells us to encourage one another, to remind us that the truth is that God loves us and that God equips us, that we are treasured and that our struggles are worth it. Encouragement from the Bible gives us the will to carry on. It is a glimpse of a bigger picture. It can prevent burnout. It can save us from believing the lies of sin's deceitfulness. Encouragement helps us to experience abundant life. In John 10:10, it says, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. When we feel like the world is against us, God's word ultimately encourages us and reminds us that his purpose for us is to give us a rich and satisfying life. So even when you feel like you can't find encouragement in humans or people have failed you, I turn to his word. In Proverbs 16:24, it says, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. God's word is abundantly sweet to us, and God's word is full of encouragement. And I just wanted to speak that to you today, that God ultimately has the best for us, and that he wants to give us a rich and satisfying life. So as we close out today, if you want to stand up, I'm going to pray. Dearly Father, we just come to you today, Lord. We're just so grateful for your word, Lord. We're grateful for the reminder, Lord, of encouragement, Lord, that it reminds us of who we are, Lord God. Lord, it helps us in the battle. Lord, it helps us to dream bigger. Lord. But God, we just pray for every person in this room today, Lord, that even in their moments of feeling discouragement, Lord, that you are there fighting right next to them and you are there cheering them on. So if you feel led to come up today, and if perhaps you want prayer for encouragement, maybe you need to be reminded of who you are. Maybe you've forgotten or lost yourself along the way. Or maybe you feel like you're in a battle and you feel like, I don't know if I can go on. Or perhaps there's something that God has placed in your life, a dream, and you just need to dream bigger. And you just need to be pushed on to dream bigger. I just encourage you to come forward today and hand that over to God. And we will pray for you. We will love you. And I'm just thankful for the people here that God has placed in my life. And I know that many of you have that in your life as well.
Father, thank you today. Thank you today, Father, for your encouragement to us through these words. Thank you for your encouragement to us through Scripture. Thank you for the reminder today to encourage one another, to fill each other up with courage, to go beyond what we think we can do, to become everything that you have said we are. And for those in the room today that have believed lies that have been spoken over them, lies that have been spoken over them by Satan, lies that have been spoken over them through people in their life that should have protected them but have brought harm. Today, we just reject those lies. We resist those lies. We rebuke those lies. We see them for what they are, as things that are not true, as lies, as things that are destructive. Today we embrace your truth. Your truth that we are your children. That we are exactly who you say we are and nothing less. That we are more than conquerors in your Son Jesus. And so today, as we leave this place, help us all to encourage one another and to be encouraged as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Great job, Jessica. Thank you, Jessica. Thank you, Jessica. Thank you.